Sachem Perek Zayin, Mishnah Yud, 7:10. The Mishnah now will discuss the obligation of Sreifa, of burning the nosar, the leftover meat, from the Korban Pesach. The Pasuk says, V'achlu es habasar b'layla hazeh, you have a mitzvah aseh, a requirement to eat all the basar, the edible portions of the Korban Pesach, and that has to be done at the Machlokas Tanaim over what period? According to Rabbi Akiva, you have the whole night till the morning. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, you only have till Chatzos. And perhaps Midrabban, even Rabbi Akiva, would agree that you have till Chatzos. Either way, once the deadline passes on the Doraisa level, meaning at daybreak, according to Rabbi Akiva, at midnight, which is Chatzos, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the meat of the Korban Pesach is no longer allowed to be eaten, and in fact, it gets the status of Nosar, which is leftover sacrificial meat. And the pasuk says, "Velo sasiru menu ad boker." You may not do that. It's a law to leave over the meat until the morning. But the nosar itself, the leftover meat which is left over, the pasuk says, "Vahanosar mimenu ad boker." That meat which is left over until the morning, ba'esh tisrafu. There's a separate mitzvah asay to burn that leftover meat. Okay, so our Mishnah will focus on the obligation to burn that meat, but of course it only applies to things which have the status of basar, which is meat, edible portions. That which isn't edible wouldn't have the obligation to be burned in the morning. So the Mishnah says, ha'atzamos, bones, and now we're not talking about regular, any old bone, but bones that contain within them moach, which is marrow, bone marrow. Marrow is edible. And therefore, there's, in principle, in theory, hypothetically, an obligation to eat the bone marrow as well. However, there's a separate isser from the Torah, as we've seen, to break the bones of the Korban Pesach. And since one can't break the bones, there's no obvious way, no accessible way to get to that marrow. And that being the case, you'll be precluded from breaking the bones, but therefore you will necessarily end up leaving over the marrow. And that being the case, you're now going to have to destroy that marrow by burning on at a later date when it's permitted to be burning the leftovers, as we'll see later in the Mishnah when that would be. Technically speaking, there's actually a machlokas in what the lumdus is with those bones. Is it just that the bones contain the marrow? Or is it the bones are subordinate to the marrow? Either way, you can come up with scenarios where perhaps there might not be an obligation to burn those bones. Like, for example, if the bone broke by itself, once it's broken, you have an obligation to eat the marrow inside of it. Now there's no marrow left, just a bone, and therefore, depending on which pshat, there would be a question of whether or not those bones still have to be burned. Then the one side would be no, since there's no marrow left. On the other side, the argument, yes, they still have to be burned because they have a status of being tuffel, of subordinate to the marrow that was once there, and therefore they're the kind of things that need to get burned. Either way, in addition, the Mishnah says, v'hagidin. Gidin are the word gid in Hebrew, in the Chazal anyways, refers to kind of any long, thin, and I guess to some degree fibrous or tough physiological structure. So that means it could refer to, I think it's translated usually as sinews, which is not bad of a translation, but it could refer to ligaments and tendons, but also gidin can refer to even veins occasionally, and to nerves. All these things are kind of long, thin structures that extend through the body of a creature. So now, if it's edible, one would have to eat it. If it were inedible, not. But there are certain structures, like, for example, portions that are of the nerves that are near the gidanasha, which are referred to as either the gidanasha achitzon, like a separate part of the sciatic nerve, which is not prohibited to eat by the Torah, but asur midrabbanan, as well as some of the fats around those nerves, the gidanasha, the sciatic nerve, and so. So those gidin cannot be eaten midrabbanan, and therefore they'll necessarily be left over, and therefore you'll have to burn them because they're left over nosar. So it's gidin. V'hanosar, and other meats as well, whatever other meat that was edible, as we'll define more in the next Mishnah, but the point is, whatever could be eaten but wasn't eaten is now nosar left over. Yisrafu must be burned. B'shisha asar, on the 16th of Nisan. That is to say, although they become nosar on the 15th, when they're no longer allowed to be eaten, let's call it daybreak, or perhaps at midnight, but by daybreak for sure, they're nosar, but you can't burn them on Yom Tov. is a separate Isser of burning the Kadshim Yom Tov, and therefore you wait an extra day till the 16th, the first day of Chol HaMoed, and that's when you'll perform the mitzvah of burning any of the leftovers. Chal Shisha Asar Liyos B'Shabbos. The Mishnah says if it turns out that the first day of Chol HaMoed, the 16th of Nisan, happens to be a Shabbos, so then Yisfu, you'll have to burn it B'Shiva Asar on the 17th of Nisan, meaning the second day of Chol HaMoed, when it's, you know, no longer Shabbos anymore. Lefi She'enen Dochen Lo'as a Shabbos V'lo Es Yom Tov, because the obligation to burn your leftover Nosar does not push off neither Shabbos nor Yom Tov. Now there's a bit of a Kol V'Chomer here. Of course, not, it doesn't push off Yom Tov already, so all the more so Shabbos, because certain things you could do, like there are leniencies regarding Malach on Yom Tov, but they both go hand in hand here, and there's a possible Chiddush, as much as you might have thought, that if Shabbos falls out on the first day of Yom Tov, perhaps you think you should indeed burn it if Shabbos falls out on the first day of Chol HaMoed, you might have thought erroneously that you should then burn it on Yom Tov. That would be wrong. The point is, it's not Doche Shabbos nor Yom Tov. Now, just a question regarding why, for example, let's talk about the Gid HaNasha itself. The Gid HaNasha is the sciatic nerve which may not be eaten, and it does not have an obligation to be burned. It doesn't have a status of basar. Now, the question is, why not? Because there is a general principle that when you have a mitzvah asay, a positive commandment, and a los asay, a prohibition, that go at loggerheads, the rule is that the asay is docha the los asay, that the positive commandment overrules, it supersedes the prohibition. Meaning, for example, a classic example is, you have a prohibition of cutting off any skin that has tzara'as on it, like this affliction, the skin thing, and in the event that it just happens to be that the tzara'as is on the baby's foreskin and it's time for him to get a bris milah, so there's a prohibition of cutting it off, but there's also mitzvah aseh, a requirement to yes, cut it off, and the general rule is across the board that an aseh is docha lo sa'aseh, that a positive commandment supersedes and pushes off a prohibition, and therefore, notwithstanding the fact that the Torah says don't remove that tzaras, you will do the bris milah and remove the tzaras. So that's the rule across the board in general, that the aseh is docha the lo sa'aseh, and if that's the case, you might ask, there's a mitzvah to yes, eat the meat, there's a prohibition against eating the Gid HaNasha, so therefore the mitzvah's aseh should be docha the lo sa'aseh, it should supersede it, and you should have to eat the Gid HaNasha as well. But the answer is no, you don't, because this is an exception to that rule. Why it's an exception to that rule there are a few suggestions given. The Shagas Arya fascinatingly says that since the mitzvah of eating the meat of the Korban Pesach was given prior to Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah Har Sinai, so the rules are different, even though for sure the obligation on us to eat the Korban Pesach was reaffirmed at Har Sinai, at the giving of the Torah, but nevertheless there's a separate set of rules that apply to these principles of what is docha what pushes off what for the mitzvah that were given before Matan Torah. According to the Or Sameach, he suggests that you never have this rule of asa docha lo sa'aseh when it comes to eating things. Whatever the case is, this is an exception to that rule, meaning that usually asa is docha lo sa'aseh, but here, not. That being the case, you don't eat the Gid HaNasha and you don't even need to burn it. It's not considered to be the basar that would be eligible for consumption in the Korban Pesach. Now, just following that thought through a little bit more, you might ask yourself, wait a second. The end of the Mishnah said you have a mitzvah to burn the nosar, the leftover meat, and you have a prohibition of doing malacha on Yom Tov. So they have a case of an aseh, which should be docha the los aseh, and how come you don't burn it, the leftover meat, on Yom Tov itself, on the first day of Pesach, before Chol HaMoed? Good question, but the answer is unfortunately that's different. Why is that different? Because there's both a mitzvah aseh and a los aseh, both a positive and negative commandment that protects Yom Tov and Shabbos. There's both a commandment to rest, as in mitzvah aseh, as well as a law and prohibition of gudu malacha, and the rule of an aseh docha lo sa'aseh only applies when you have like one against one, if you will, a positive versus prohibitory commandment. But in the case where you have a positive commandment against both an aseh and a lo sa'aseh, so then it's two against one, so to speak. Not literally, but two against one. But anyways, and the rule doesn't apply. That being the case, you cannot burn your nosar on Yom Tov.